we're dealing with here is a total lack of respect for the law.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist.
You are listening to Shadow Resistance Radio.
Yeah, Shadow Resistance Radio. Keep listening. Yeah, Shadow Resistance Radio, everybody. That was Queensryche Resistance, and this is Shadow Resistance Radio. Thanks for tuning in. I'm trying to get the noise levels, and when I say noise, of course, I mean my voice. All of our sound levels kind of coordinated here, because apparently when I've been coming in after the music on the show, some friends have given me some wonderful feedback, critiques, if you will, saying that I'm basically blowing people's eardrums out when I start talking. I'm thinking that apparently it's time for new headphones for me, because I really don't hear myself very well through them. But anyway, enough about me. Problem, reaction, solution. That's what we're talking about today. Problem, reaction, solution. You have a problem. The public reacts. And then, of course, our wonderful federal government offers their solution, which eventually will lead to a final solution, I'm sure. It's absolutely ridiculous. If you have been following the Patrick Bedell story, the guy who walked into the Pentagon and just started shooting. Apparently he was dressed in a very nice business suit, and when he was asked for identification, he reached in his pocket and pulled out a 9mm automatic and opened fire. Now, it was only a matter of time before this guy would be described as, you know, some sort of wing nut. And sure enough, lots of the AP, of course, jumped right on it, and, you know, labeled him this sort of extremist, and of course tied in the truth movement to basically paint everyone in a very broad brush. Now, this is really interesting. This is the story that I'm going to lead with. This is how it was. This is how it was reported on the Christian Science Monitor, of all places. Don't get me started on that. That's another tangent for another day. Talk about that cult. According to the Associated Press, an internet posting made by someone using the name J. Patrick Bedell expressed a determination to see justice served in the case of Marine Colonel James Sabow, who was found dead in his California home in 1991. Authorities have ruled this case a suicide, but it has become a cause celebre among extremists who consider that ruling a cover-up by the government. Anyone with a brain who's actually read about that case knows it's a cover-up. That guy caught, much like Michael Rupert, caught his colleagues running drugs in a Southside LA. Running drugs in California. He knew the government was doing it. He was going to blow the whistle. They killed him. It's pretty simple. That makes me an extremist, I guess, because I can actually see through a bullshit story like that. The posting expressed a general hatred of Washington and added that exposing the Sabow case would be, quote, a step toward establishing the truth of events such as the September 11 demolition, according to the AP. The Pentagon attack and the destruction of the IRS building in Austin, Texas, come at a time of explosive growth in extremist group activism across the United States, according to the Southern Poverty Law Center, which tracks such organizations. The number of U.S. extremist paramilitary militias grew from 42 in 2008 to 127 in 2009, according to a just-released SPLC annual report. So-called, quote, patriot groups, steeped in anti-government conspiracy theories, grew from 149 in 2008 to 512 in 2009, an increase that the SPLC report judges as astonishing. Well, so they went from this guy who was mentally ill to writing about the so-called paramilitary militias and patriot groups, tying in the extremist group activism across the United States. So the story then becomes about that, and not about this guy who was bipolar. And I was really surprised to find this story on CNN where they actually talked about how he actually was indeed bipolar and had mental illness issues. This is a talking about how he had so many troubles. Give this a listen.
In the next few minutes, I'll talk to you about what information currency is.
You don't have to watch John Patrick Bedell's YouTube video for very long to realize this was a man with serious issues. This video, titled Information Currency, is the rambling of a troubled 36-year-old man instructing people how to use information to make money.
I hope you'll visit my website and download the software that I've released.
Bedell may have been disturbed, but he was clearly intelligent. His online resume shows he graduated with a degree in physics in 1994. The professor remembers him as a thoughtful student.
I thought I knew him pretty well. I had him in a class where he was a pleasure to have him there. When he would ask really good questions that would spark the class into having good questions. I would have characterized him as a gentleman.
Years later, in 2004, a link to the Pentagon. Bedell, who also studied biochemistry, proposed the Pentagon fund his research on smart weapons. CNN obtained his 28-page proposal, though it's not clear if he ever submitted it to the Defense Department. At this point in Bedell's life, no apparent red flags, but that changes in 2006. A search of criminal records shows his first real trouble with the law, arrested for growing marijuana. Authorities say Bedell later obtained a medical marijuana card, and the local sheriff says his mother was concerned about his frequent use and told police about it.
She feels that he's, you know, delusional, he's agitated, and he got upset with her because, you know, she's asking questions about what he's been doing.
Bedell lived in this gated Northern California community with his parents, described as well-known and respected. In recent months, they became more and more worried about their son's erratic behavior. Like in January, they got a call from a Texas deputy who had just pulled Bedell over for speeding. The deputy sensed something was wrong.
And so he got Bedell's cell phone and called his parents.
That's correct. You know, see, and what he articulates to the mother is that, hey, I'm calling you to ask a few questions about your son because the inside of his vehicle appears to be in disarray, and what can you tell me about him?
Bedell went on his way. The family later filed a missing persons report, then dropped it when Bedell came home a week later. But Bedell soon left again, when, according to the sheriff, his mother questioned him about a $600 charge at a shooting club. It's not clear if the money was for a weapon. Then on February 1st, more trouble with police. Bedell, now with a beard and appearing gaunt, was pulled over in Reno and determined to be high on marijuana. Authorities say he had 75 grams of pot in his possession. He was charged with several crimes, but didn't show up for his court appearance. A month later, after driving across the country, Bedell shows up at that Pentagon metro station, dressed in a suit, and according to police, opens fire. Bedell had a documented case of mental illness, bipolar disorder. The sheriff here in his hometown says Bedell had been committed to a mental institution 3 to 4 times. Bedell's parents put out a statement saying his son's actions were caused by an illness, not a defective character. Dan Simon, CNN, Hollister, California.
Well, there you go. And so that was pretty interesting. They actually admitted that he was mentally ill. So, first of all, I think that is pretty telling. The fact that I really don't know what angle they're going to take. If they're going to, on the one hand, sounds like they're playing out this sort of what would you call it, reefer madness. On another hand, he's delusional. But they also cited in several areas where he had actually had posted several things about, you know, 9/11 truth, those kinds of things. So they're definitely going to paint that with a broad brush, which it seems to be mentioned in nearly every sort of story that there's here. Let's see. Here is a The brother describes the Pentagon gunman's mental struggles. John Patrick Bedell was an independent-minded and skeptical teenager, bright and questioning, with strongly held opinions like countless other young people his brother remembered Saturday. Bedell, who went by Patrick, had vigorously objected to the 1991 Persian Gulf War since high school, telling relatives that the United States was trying to enrich itself and oil companies, said his brother. Well, no shit. And all of a sudden, that's supposed to be strange behavior. In 2002, after the breakup of a four-year relationship with a girlfriend, his skepticism began to turn the deep-rooted suspicion. Soon it became paranoia, his brother said. Patrick Bedell would point skyward, convinced that they were watching him. He believed songs he heard on the radio were meant as warnings. The Bedell family and close friends tried to seek medical help for him, but he refused, convinced that he was privy to information that warranted his mindset. So basically, his brother Jeffrey says that he was obviously exhibiting symptoms of a mental disorder approaching paranoid schizophrenia. But you know, tying in this whole idea of, oh, this crazy person believes that the 1991 Persian Gulf War was about enriching oil companies. Well, that's crazy talk. Couldn't possibly be true. So, basically, you have the CIA's favorite newspaper. I'm getting this from Infowars.com. Thanks, Alex Jones. This is, I think it was his... Pretty sure it was Aaron. No, it was Kurt Nimmo reporting. Bedell, Joe Stack, and James von Brunn, the elderly neo-Nazi charged with killing a guard at the U.S. Holocaust Museum last June, quote, appear to have drawn ideological nourishment from the same well. Online communities of like-minded people who validate and amplify extreme views. Today, more than in recent years, such communities are tapping into a broad undercurrent of anti-government discontent fueled by economic recession, joblessness, and concern over the growing federal deficit, according to experts who have studied the phenomenon. Writes a couple of guys for the Washington Post. And again, as I reported in a previous story, Kurt is, of course, pointing out that how do you put a damper on the electronic undercurrent of anti-government discontent? You clamp down on the internet, of course, and here's a tip of the hat to Kurt Nimmo, Cass Sunstein to the rescue. That's right. In his recently published book on rumors, Obama's regulatory czar suggests websites be forced to remove false rumors, as determined by the government, or face prosecution under libel laws. In an academic paper, Sunstein argued that the government should ban conspiracy theories and launch a renewed COINTELPRO initiative and infiltrate extremists who supply conspiracy theories and unconstitutionally disrupt anybody who disagrees with the government. We can readily imagine a series of possible responses, Sunstein wrote. 1. Government might ban conspiracy theorizing. 2. Government might impose some kind of tax, financial or otherwise, on those who disseminate such theories. His over-the-top fascist solutions in response to people who oppose the government are probably a bit too extreme for the squeamish gang in Congress. Instead, they appear ready to support a bill now in the Senate that will give Obama the power to shut down the internet in response to a cyber attack. Now, this is really where I wanted to get to. That is the point. Now, I could have gone on, there was another headline that says Marine, because part of what was supposedly inspiring Patrick Bedell to go off in crazy land here and start shooting people was the government cover-up of Colonel James Sabow's alleged he was suicided back in 1991. And he cites this as being, you know, one of the key stories that should have come up. And so then all of a sudden there's a headline on CBS that says Marine Colonel James Sabow's death, a government cover-up. When you actually click on the link, the full title reads, Marine Colonel James Sabow's death, a government cover-up? John Patrick Bedell thought so. And then it goes on to John Patrick Bedell being a crazy person. This is just, you know, one of the very easy techniques that these mainstream media outlets use. they go from talking about making people believe they're talking about one thing and completely switching gears and talking about what they want to talk about and putting forward the picture that they want to get out there. Now, they also cited the SPLC. SPLC is the Southern Poverty Law Center. Now, basically, this is a group that is talking about fighting hate, teaching tolerance, and seeking justice. And I went to their website just to check it out. And the new SPLC report, Patriot Group's Malicious Surge in Number in the Past Year. Really interesting information here. And they talk about all of these, when we're looking at the new SPLC report, you can go to SPLC Enter. They must have left off a C or something. SPLCenter.org. And their articles are all right there. Basically, it says that it says Patriot groups have been fueled by anger over the changing demographics of the country, the soaring public debt, the troubled economy, and an array of initiatives by President Obama that have been branded socialist or even fascist by his political opponents. This extraordinary growth is a cause for grave concern, said Intelligence Report editor Mark Potok. The people associated with the Patriot movement during its 1990s heyday produced an enormous amount of violence, most dramatically the Oklahoma City bombing that left 168 people dead. We know that was an inside job. And so what do? They turn around. The very people that are pointing out that who's really doing these things, what do? They blame them for the attacks. It's the same thing Hitler did. He attacked Poland and said it was because Poland attacked him. I mean, this is what they do. And then it goes on, it says, the Patriot movement has made significant inroads into the conservative political scene, according to the new report. Quote, the Tea Parties and similar groups that have sprung up in recent months cannot fairly be considered extremist groups, but they are shot through with rich veins of radical ideas, conspiracy theories, and racism, the report says. So, I mean, the Truth Movement, the Patriot Movement, the Tea Parties, these are people who are, well, exercising their rights of free speech and assembly, and they are called, now being labeled, being lumped in with hate groups by this watchdog agency in the South. It says, unlike the 1990s, the Patriot Movement's central ideas are being promoted by people with large audiences, such as Fox News' Glenn Beck and U.S. Representative Michelle Bachmann of Minnesota. Beck, for instance, reinvigorated a key Patriot conspiracy theory, the charge that the Federal Emergency Management Agency is secretly running concentration camps, before finally debunking it. Yeah, that's his job, to make it look like he's actually going to report something real, and then turn around and debunk it. And it goes on, it says, the growth of Patriot groups comes at a time when the number of racist hate groups stayed at record levels, rising from 926 in 2008 to 932 in 2009. The increase caps a decade in which the number of hate groups surged by 55%. Okay, or, I'm just kind of throwing this out there, or this group labeled groups as being extremist or hate groups, when in actuality all they are is in opposition to our government. Anyone who opposes, you know, the whatever group is there suddenly becomes a hate group, according to these people, looks like. The expansion would have been much greater in 2009 if not for the demise of the American National Socialist Workers Party, a key neo-Nazi network whose founder was arrested in October 2008. The American Nazi Party is one of the smallest groups in the United States. Now it says, so they're saying, oh, it would have been much higher in 2009, but, you know, that group went defunct. So they don't say that, some of the hate groups have gone down. No, they say, oh, it would have gotten bigger if that one hadn't gone down. Now, there has also been a surge in, quote, nativist extremist groups, vigilante organizations that go beyond advocating strict immigration policy and actually confront or harass suspected immigrants. These groups grew from 173 groups in 2008 to 309 in 2009, a rise of nearly 80%. Of course, what they're referring to here are some of the groups that have organized in the Patriot Movement in the southern border of Texas and California, and have taken to guarding the border themselves because the Border Patrol is not allowed to do it, and our government will do nothing about it. So these people have taken upon themselves, as clear-thinking citizens often will, to protect themselves. So, yeah, but that's a nativist extremist group, according to these people. Let's see. These three strands of the radical right, the hate groups, the nativist extremist groups, and the patriot organizations, are the most volatile elements on the American political landscape. Taken together, their numbers increased by more than 40%, rising from 1,248 groups in 2008 to 1,753 last year. There are already signs of radical right violence reminiscent of the 1990s. Right, and I have not seen any of these things that they are talking about. But it continues. It basically says, there are already signs of radical right violence reminiscent of the 1990s. Right-wing extremists have murdered six law enforcement officers since Obama's inauguration. Have not seen any of those stories. Racist skinheads and others have been arrested in alleged plots to assassinate the president. I think there was one while he was running for president that was some whack job. But they pluralized it and said racist skinheads and others. I've only known of one. And if I'm missing something here, please write into either the blog or shoot me an email and tell me what these links are, because I have not seen any of these stories. But anyway, I'm just looking at their SPLC racist skinhead page. And so, it says, most recently, as recounted in the new issue of the Intelligence Report, a number of individuals with... I mean, this is their own publication that they're using as support for this their own article here online. Most recently, as recounted in the new issue of the Intelligence Report, a number of individuals with anti-government, survivalist, or racist views have been arrested in a series of bomb cases. Let's see. Maybe anti-government? I don't know. I haven't seen any of these stories. The hate groups listed in this report include neo-Nazis, white nationalists, neo-Confederates, and racist skinheads, Klansmen, and black separatists. Other hate groups target gays or immigrants, and some specialize in producing racist music or propaganda denying the Holocaust. A list of an interactive state-by-state map of active hate groups can be viewed here. And I clicked on that, and I gotta say, there are active hate groups here that it's talking about, and one of them is located in Washington, D.C. Well, I'm not talking about... sorry, playing with the sound here. I'm not talking about Congress, because they obviously hate us. What I'm talking about is the American Free Press. The American Free Press is a weekly newspaper. It descends from the publication The Spotlight, which went bankrupt in 2001. Liberty Lobby is its parent company, and it describes itself as a, quote, maverick independent grassroots media. It proclaims a, quote, populist and nationalist political orientation. It is classified as an active hate group by the Southern Poverty Law Center. Those of you who are regular listeners of this show know that one of the main guys when it comes to reporting on the Bilderbergers Jim Tucker works for this group. He reports on the Bilderberg Group constantly. He works for the American Free Press. Several other mainstream columnists also work for or have published in this magazine or in this newspaper, this weekly. So that is one of the groups that the Southern Poverty Law Center has labeled as a hate group, a newspaper. A newspaper that often will report negative reports against the United States government. So they are a hate group. That's interesting. Now, along with all of this, you also have a news story that just a friend of Alex Jones on Facebook just posted on his page, his wall. Al-Qaeda calls on U.S. Muslims to attack America. So we are looking at more domestic fun, by the sounds of it. So it is now 12:35 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm going to try to get my sound situated around. I think I'm only coming through in one side by the sounds of it. It is 12:35 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Sunday, March 7th, 2010. And they're marching us forward to global dictatorship and using the old nut of problem-reaction-solution to shut down the interwebs. And I want to talk on the other side about exactly what Obama and his administration plan to do with that little piece of legislation.
Noon to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Join the resistance.
detecting some financial meltdown. The crisis that they need. This will lead to war and chaos. And the excuse they need. A world order dictatorship. And their patiently crafted scheme.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street. There's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to riot. I don't want you to write to your congressmen because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value. So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore! I want you to get up right now. Get up, go to your windows, open them, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore. Things have got to change. Then we'll figure out what to do about the depression and the inflation and the oil crisis. But first, get up out of your chairs, open the window, stick your head out and yell, and say, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore. Stick your head out of the window, open it, and stick your head out and keep yelling and yell, I'm as mad as hell, I'm not going to take this anymore. Just get up from your chairs right now. Climb!
I'm mad as hell! I'm not going to take this anymore!
I'm mad as hell! I'm not
going to
take it anymore! I'm mad as hell! I'm not
going to
take it anymore!
I'm mad as hell! I'm not
going to
take it anymore!
I'm mad as hell!
Listening to Shadow Resistance Radio. Broadcasting live on Sunday, noon to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Join the Resistance. listening to Shadow Resistance Radio. Broadcasting live on Sunday, noon to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Yes, I am. Welcome back. This is Shadow Resistance Radio. I'm Jake. It's 12:55 Eastern Standard Time on March 7th, 2010. And today's show, what I've been discussing is the idea of, I believe the internet could very well be under attack. And there are a whole variety of ways that this could take place, whether it's Cass Sunstein just simply saying it's illegal to discuss a conspiracy theory and doing away with freedom of speech. Or in this news item, entitled, this is all from Yahoo News, Al-Qaeda calls on U.S. Muslims to attack America. Al-Qaeda's American-born spokesman on Sunday called on Muslims serving in the U.S. Armed Forces to emulate the Army major charged with killing 13 people in Fort Hood. In a 25-minute video posted on militant websites, Adam Gadan described Major Nidal Hassan as a pioneer who should serve as a role model for other Muslims, especially those serving Western militaries. Brother Nidal is the ideal role model for every repentant Muslim in the armies of the unbelievers and apostate regimes, he said. Gadan, he's also known as Azam al-Amriki, was dressed in white robes and wearing a white turban as he called for attacks on what he described as high-value targets. He grew up on a goat farm in Riverside County, California, and converted to Islam at a mosque in nearby Orange County. This is the kind of guy that the powers that be just love. Problem, reaction, solution. You are going to be seeing, I mean, all of these stories have been basically planted, and they're building up to one fruition of a strategic plan that has been in place since before Obama entered office. You saw every once in a while there would be a little news item of how Chinese cyber attacks on the Defense Department or the Pentagon, those kinds of things, and how our military has no idea how to deal with these attacks. Yeah, bullshit. They know exactly how to deal with them, and I really doubt anything was attacked that they didn't want to have attacked. First of all, we've been seeing all of these stories trickling in. You know, why is it that, you know, I can have, I'm in my Shadow Resistance bunker here, software running, resident on my computer that sets up a great firewall, but the most well-funded organization in the entire world can't get their act together with their computers? Like I said, come on, people. Use some common sense. That's horse shit. The other thing that we've seen are all of these little... Now we're starting to see these stories of all of these domestic terrorists. So, it's a traditional sleight of hand move. Watch this hand over here so you don't know what this other hand is doing. The hand that we're supposed to be watching is the so-called cyber attacks, the so-called domestic terror, these lone nut jobs going in. I'm sorry, all I have in my head is a picture of Neo from The Matrix. Is that who this guy thought he was, at this Bedell? Like going in his little business suit and just very calmly, with a very calm, straight face, start shooting like he was... What was he supposed to do? Was he going to, you know, start doing cartwheels on the ceiling and crap like that? Is that what he thought he was going to do? I don't know. He just a lone nut, you know? Yeah, obviously the scene I'm describing is when Neo goes in to save Morpheus. So, I think that maybe he was acting out some little twisted fantasy or something. Who knows? But regardless, all of these stories are being planted and put out there and propagated in the mainstream media, and that's what we're supposed to be paying attention to. What aren't we supposed to be paying attention to? Well, it's kind of complicated, as it usually is, but we are not out of our fiscal... crisis. In fact, it's going to get worse. And not only is it going to get worse, but I am starting to have a sneaking suspicion. One of the things that they might do, if they pass this bill where the president can shut down the internet due to an attack, they could very well stage an attack and literally shut down the internet. I think there's going to be a story where a whole area of the internet is going to go down, and what that is, that's going to be a little test run for them to see if they can actually manage it. I think they can. But what purpose would this possibly serve? Well, I was talking to my best friend yesterday. We tend to get together for pizza and beer on the weekend. And he's a retired law enforcement officer, just started a new job with one of the largest bank branches in the Northeast, doing their networking for their computer systems. Very smart guy, very sharp, just will instantly learn whatever he needs to learn in order to do this job well. And one of the things that he told me that really stuck out in the conversation, he was telling me how basically the main branch of the bank has three T3 lines going in for their networking capabilities. For those of you who don't know, a T3 is a bundle of fiber optic wire. And it's obviously a bundle of T1s. So basically it's high speed internet and high speed networking. It basically works at the speed of light, so on, fiber optics, all that stuff. Without getting into too much detail about that, too late, I know. He said that two out of their three T3s went down. And it happened at the end of the day. The very next morning, the internet company was there waiting for the bank to open up so that they could get that going. Because if their connection went down, it would cost them something upwards of $1 billion an hour. They would lose $1 billion an hour in deposits and so on. So, you know, this whole idea of if and that's just it, and basically if it were to happen earlier in the day, if two of their lines had gone down early in the day, that internet company would have been right there that day fixing it on the spot, because they cannot afford to lose that kind of money. Since it happened at the end of the day, they decided they could do it the next day. They actually did it overnight or whatever. So, that's how much money is transferred in this way. You know, banks, we know that banks just create money. And how do they do it? They do it electronically. They do it through electronic transfers. So, when this happens, when there is a staged attack on the government computers and they shut down the internet, that means all financial systems will be shut down as well. They will literally be just flipping a switch and shutting off the American economy. What is that going to do? Well, they're shutting off the American economy when they do it. Figure it out. So they then have their hand on the light switch that would determine whether these people would lose billions of dollars over a period of hours or what. So that then gives them control. And the control, of course, will be to destroy the American economy, which is, they have said, the group that wants to institute, and Obama is one of them, institute a new world order, a world government. The first thing they have to do is destroy our economy. They've been doing that. But if this legislation passes, they will be able to do it with the flip of a switch. So that's what I wanted to get to. These ideas of, now they're planning these stories and floating these stories of domestic terrors or terrorists, Al-Qaeda of all things. Yeah, right. Al-Qaeda is the name of a database that the FBI created to keep track of these people that were on the CIA payroll, basically. So, Coming full circle, when we look at, they have tied in from this one very sad, mentally ill man, they have been able to tie up in this one story anyone who, and lump in with him, anyone who is a member of the freedom movement, anyone who is a member of the truth movement, anyone who is trying to take back control of a political party that the neocons had, and those are the real fascists, those are the Nazis, that they had taken away from the American people and turned into something completely different. That is exactly what they have been able to do with this one story. Now they have been, thankfully, they have actually started reporting this idea of, oh, well, you know, he really was mentally ill and all those kinds of things. So that is the show for today, folks. I fear for all of us. I think that, well, like I said, as usual, I think this might be the angle, and I hope that I'm wrong. I've been wrong on other of my predictions. You know, I really hope I'm wrong on this one, too. But if they are given a switch that they can flip and shut off the interweb machine, they effectively shut down the economy with a flip of a switch. And then they are that one step closer they need in order to destroy our sovereignty. It is 1:07 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Shadow Resistance Radio. This is Jake. I'm signing off. I think I've said enough. Thanks for tuning in, you couple of live listeners. Hey, thanks. Good to see you out there. If you're listening to this through the podcast, I've been keeping track of our rankings and so on, and we continue to become more popular and go up. I think that, especially in the last week, there's been a big surge. Big shout out to Doug Kendall of the band Downcount. I think that's a tribute to you, my friend. You know, the tremendous following your band has, because you are so good, that I think that maybe through you, some of your listeners wanted to hear you on the show, and they have then tapped into what I do here. So thanks a lot for that. And if you haven't heard Downcount's album, Soundtrack of the Revolution, you need to get it. Go to their website, listen to the clips they have on their embedded player, and you will not be disappointed. This band really rocks, and they have an amazing message. So it's a big shot in the arm to truth seekers and freedom lovers everywhere. So again, another shout out to you, Doug. Thanks for your help in promoting my show. Appreciate it, man. So pay attention to those news stories. Watch how they're being floated out there. And keep your head on straight. Shadow Resistance Radio. Thanks for tuning in, everyone.
You are listening to Shadow Resistance Radio. Broadcasting live on Sunday, noon to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Join the resistance.
Information. Information. Information.
Who are you?
The new number two.
Who is number one?
You are number six.
I am not a number. I am a free man.